The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Second hour is live, and there was a big kerfuffle last night about who would be invited to the White House after the women's final. It turns out that the winners are going to be invited, along with the UConn team. So LSU and UConn have been invited by the president to come celebrate. There had been a brief period when the first lady wanted both sides to come. Who's coming on our show? The first man of Vanderbilt football, Coach Clark Lee, will join us in a few minutes. Deli, top of the next hour. Bill is up next in Gulf Shores. Hello, Bill.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I remember when you was still in Birmingham back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, okay?
Sure.
And I've been a long-time fan.
Thank you very much.
But I got some questions, you know. One is, why is everybody trying to pick on Alabama, you know, football, trying to dump Alabama football, you know, this is it, you know, they're done and, you know, they're gone, you know. Every year, same thing.
Well, why do you think that is? Assuming that you really believe that is the case.
I don't believe it. You know, I mean, it's same old rhetoric.
I just have to be amused.
Everybody's trying to knock you off the top. You know?
Bill, here's a program that has been the epicenter of the sport for 17 years, and they go 2 years without winning a national championship, and some Bama fans think everyone is out to get them. Nobody's out to get Alabama, other than on the field.
Yeah, right. Okay, there was something that I really had, at the top of my mind there, you know, that I wanted to talk to you about, you know, and while I was waiting on you, you know, to answer the phone, you know, maybe I forgot it, you know, but there's something about Alabama and their basketball team and their football team, you know, that, you know, everybody hates and everybody's after them, you know, and everybody wants to, you know, dump them, you know, but there was something else, you know, that, you know, okay, yeah, Legend. I like Legend, you know. He is my number one pick as far as your the people that call in your show there, you know. I like Legend. And Jim's all right, you know. He's just something else, you know. Jim's all right, but I really do like Legend, you know. And it looks like it's coming up now, you know, Legend or Cat Daddy, right?
That is correct. Well, Bill, thank you for joining us. Always good to hear from you. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
How's the old Alabama hater doing?
I'm just hating and hating and hating.
Hey, nice opening guest with Greeny.
How about that?
You never did get to call him an idiot today, did you?
No, but I haven't read the book yet either.
Yeah. So you don't know who number 9 is going to be, do you?
I don't.
I would say Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, but we'll have to see. I'll have to buy the damn book now. Yeah. Hey, my compliments to your team. I think their seating was excellent. I had Legend, Cat Daddy, Larry, and Handsome Humble Joe,
I'm curious, John, in the top five.
What
do you attribute the rapid rise of Cat Daddy? The fact that he works at a liquor store, do you think that could have something to do with it?
Well, it appeals to me. I know that much.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder because, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being judgmental here, but I just didn't see this Cat Daddy phenomenon happening. I just expected the usual. I expect the old man, I mean Jim, to be in the finals with Legend, just like the chalk says.
Well, I think Iman's in a state of shock, don't you? He sounded a little somber today,
yeah,
didn't he?
I always like when the loser starts talking about the historical significance of the winner.
Oh, the social influence of it all. Yeah, I heard that part.
I never thought I'd expect Iman to play the woke card, would you?
No, but he's certain right now. We have to say prayers. Hey, quick question, Paul, on the 24 playoffs.
Yes.
and this applies both to SEC and Big Ten. I might understand there's no divisions and it's just the two best teams, but that being said, what's the format when the second team, maybe there's two or three of them there, you know, in that top group?
Well, you mean for the college football playoff?
No, for the SEC and Big Ten championships.
Oh, well, there'll be a tiebreaker system, and I have no idea what it would be, but there's always some system in place. And, you know, I don't know whether it will be rankings, head-to-head, but there will be some stipulation.
Well, send flowers to Iman today, okay?
You got it. Thank you very much. Geneva is in Georgia. Hello, Geneva.
Hey, Mr. Powell. How are you doing today?
We are doing just great. Thank you.
Good. I enjoyed Ike being on your show. I hope his book is a huge success. I'm calling to vote for Cat Daddy.
You are.
I am.
And why is that?
If I could vote legend off the show, I would.
Now, I ask a silly question here, but how could you not like legend?
How could I not like legend? Oh, my gosh. I have to mute my TV every time he comes on.
You don't say, Geneva.
He is sickening.
Legend sickening?
Oh, my God.
I don't understand this conversation. It's very foreign to me.
If you haven't heard similar conversations about legend, somebody's not putting somebody through, because the man is a joke.
Well, thank you very much. And currently he is being pounded in the finals as Cat Daddy leads by 11% late in the contest. Not impossible to overturn this, but the trend lines are very bad for the number one seed. He better make a case for himself. Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey Paul. Hey, man. I just got a question for you. The higher that you are elevated, you know, maybe a top, be a top, do your skin get thinner? I'm just wondering, because, you know, just some of these these people that have been at the top for a long time, like Alabama fans, man,
I agree with you on that.
I find
people in my profession, the profession that I cover, which is football mainly and other sports, I find most of the people in the high places are very thin-skinned. Ricky, if I told on the air some of the things that I know for a fact, the audience would be shocked.
I would imagine. I want to rebut the other guy. He's talking about Gordie Howe, number 9. I think I'd choose Ted Williams.
Not that I know anything about hockey, and Gordie Howe is a great high, but nobody is in Ted Williams. Nobody's knocking Ted Williams out of that spot.
Right, yeah. Now, as far as the women's basketball yesterday, the discussion, I don't think too many people have talked about Jasmine Carson. And I mean, I don't think they would win that game at all without her.
No, they wouldn't. You're absolutely right.
Well, all right, that's all I got, Paul.
Ricky, always a pleasure to hear from you. We had the break. We are off and running. Mike Greenberg joined us earlier. Dellinger, Clark Lee, we are mighty busy here on a Tuesday afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have all of you here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. Let's continue. And Rick is up next in North Carolina. Hey, Rick.
Good afternoon, Paul. I hope you and yours are doing well.
We are. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to say one more thing about the Angel Reese and the ring on the finger and let it go. There was no harm, no foul. I see on the TV, Sally Jenkins, who's a great writer, is talking about it. She said there was nothing direct, no real taunting, and I agree with that. Put it to bed. I saw a clip of Ms. Mulkey, and she said somebody asked her about social media, and she says, well, I have an account because LSU gives all their head coaches a social media account anyway. She says, I don't care for the computer, and she says, anybody who hides behind the computer, I don't have anything to say to them. And I agree with that, and she says, if you want to talk, let's do it face-to-face, and we can disagree there. So I thought she hit that right on the head. Let's see, what else? My number nine is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
yeah, and let's see, what else? Oh, one other thing, they keep talking about Ms. Mulkey. She'd been a winner at every level. I remember when she was playing point guard for Louisiana Tech back in the days of AIA, before the NCAA had a women's division, the Association of Intercollegiate Athletics for Women. And she was a firebrand there on the court. She could really handle the ball and shoot. And one other thing, she was valedictorian of her high school class. So there has to be more emphasis, not just on athletics, but on academics. So I think she's a real class act.
That is fantastic. Rick, thanks for sharing all that with us. Quite interesting, to say the least. Linda is up next. Hello, Linda. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there.
Hi, my name is Linda, and I live in Moundville, Alabama. Do you know where Moundville is?
I sure do. I've been up there.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to tell you a funny thing that happened last year. Last year, I was sitting home, and me and my husband watches you all the time, and I just picked up the phone, and I said, well, I'm going to call him. Well, I sit there, and I called everybody around Melville that I knew, all my friends and church people. I said, y'all, I'm fixing to be on Paul. They said, I'm like the fifth caller. And they said, okay, we're listening. And I said, and I waited and waited, and you know what happened?
What happened?
You came on the phone, and you said, Linda's up next. And my phone went dead, and I didn't get to talk to you. You were saying, Linda? Linda? And I was like, oh! And everybody was calling and said, what happened? I said, my phone went dead. But I was just telling you, we love your show. We're both retired, and we watch it every single day, and we love Nick Saban, and we hope he lives to be 100, and he's still the coach.
Is that the Moundville, south of Tuscaloosa, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have been past there a couple
times. Yeah, right next down the road is one of our favorite people, Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, listen, but we want you to know that you're doing a good job, and we love you, and we love Nick Saban, and we want him to live to be 100 to be the coach.
Well, you know what? I think he will. So
I hope so. Well, we love you. I just wanted to tell you that funny story.
Well, that is very funny. Linda, you be careful. You be well. Thanks very much, and you take care of yourself. Russ is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Russ.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today, sir?
We are doing great.
I just wanted to throw my 2 cents worth in over the girl from LSU and her gestures. You know, come on, folks. Let's grow up. She did nothing wrong. And everybody's criticizing this girl. You know, that's what you get for having all your participation trophies from years before. Grow up and quit being so baby-fied.
You know, I agree with you, Russ. I think the story is over. Caitlin put it to bed today on TV, and it was an overreaction by a lot of really stupid people, and those stupid people have been called out. People like Dave Portnoy and Danny Cannell and Keith Oberman have made absolute fools out of themselves, which is par for the course for some of them. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's talk to Cordell in Tennessee. Hello, Cordell. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Man.
Good afternoon. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how you think Tennessee's going to be doing this season of football?
I think they're in for another good year. I think, you know, the quarterback situation is in good shape, which was the key to any program. They have to replace some wide receivers, but they still have some. And I think it's a natural progression, get some more players in there and some more familiarity. The toughest two games of the year are going to be Georgia and Alabama, and one is at home and one's on the road. So I think that gives Tennessee the exact same situation they were in last year, except the Georgia game is at home. It's late in the year, and there may not be a bigger game in the SEC than that late game against Georgia.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Well, I think we're going to go down to Tuscaloosa, and I don't even think Tennessee's going to have to pack their bags full of cigars. I think we'll just go down to the Alabama sidelines and steal them. That's just my personal opinion, though.
Well, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue here. More phone calls. It's been a busy afternoon already. We're only an hour and 20 minutes in. Kathy is up next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I wanted to comment on this, championship of callers. I think Legend, as far as knowledge of, sports and the SEC, I think he probably has the best. I really get a lot out of listening to him about the coaches, players, but if you can get through the rhetoric, and Squirrel, I think, has the best delivery of anyone calling.
True. And by the way, I just checked the update. Cat Daddy's lead has extended. He's up by almost 13% now. I mean, it is late in the game for Legend.
Oh, well, but I like Squirrel, I want to tell you. I think as far as delivery, he has the nicest sounding voice of most of the callers that you have, and then he also knows everything. And I do want to say, Paul, this March Madness, both the girls and the boys, has just been the best. I think it's been such a positive thing for us as viewers, and we've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, the only thing that bothered me, Kathy, is that the biggest men's game of the year was a complete dud last night.
It was.
But nothing I think it was expected, right, though. I mean, when you get down to it, nobody was in UConn's league in the tournament.
Exactly. But I tell you what, that girls' game.
Yeah, that was fun.
Oh, my God. I was like on high yesterday. It was so good. And both teams were great. It was just awesome. And I hope that's going to help to promote girls' sports now. So, and thank you guys for everything y'all have done. ESPN and everyone, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
I'll make sure
the people that did something know that. Let's talk to Expired up next in Texas.
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
What's going on, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey. All right, man, you're looking good today. Hey, I just want to tell you, first of all, I want to congratulate the Swamp Titties on a national championship. I'll do my SEC part and wish them well. Great job by them. Congratulations, LSU women's basketball. Number two, Linda, if you're out there listening, you need to call more. You're one of the better callers that I've heard. I know your phone died one time, but we need more callers like you. You're unbelievable.
She was great.
You might even be a step. She was, wasn't she, Paul? But you're probably a step up from me, which is hard. While we're talking about that, Paul, it's Cat Daddy winning this by 13% now. That shows you how bad Legend and the rest of the callers are. I mean, anybody associated with Convict U, Alabama, I'm telling you right now, should never win this. And the other thing I'm going to say is the call that called in about Kim, you know, Kim Mulkey being the valedictorian of her class, you know, if that was in Texas, it would have something to it, some substance. But in Louisiana, anybody can be the valedictorian of a class. You know what I mean? You know, everybody gets an LSU. Everybody gets an Alabama.
We will take a break on that low note and talk to somebody who did very well at a very good school. Vanderbilt's head coach Clark Lee joins us next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
How about football this weekend? Auburn in the afternoon and Vanderbilt early evening. And speaking of the Commodores, they are looking good. Offensive line returns. A lot of players that have been part of Clark Lee's system for a couple of years. And with that, we welcome the head coach at Vanderbilt to the show. Coach, it's been too long. I hope you've had I know you haven't had an easy offseason, but we hope everything is going well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Paul. Yeah, I agree. I like our meeting on the beach. I think a little better. So let's do that again. We've had a great offseason here. We're having a lot of fun, obviously finishing spring up this week and just, you know, been pleased with the winter and how this team's come together. I think it feels good to be in year three. You know, it's been a long road to this point, but feel like we're ready for a breakthrough moment, and hopefully we can keep everything pointed towards that direction.
Coach, I know that you've always had a mission, and you've tried to convince some of the naysayers when people doubted where you were going, but it just seemed like last year there were a number of significant moments that we see, but you see more. What have you seen over these 2 years that helps reinforce your belief that this program is well on its way to really being something special?
Well, I think, as I say, it's the best program to be the best program in the country, Paul, and we're not backing away from that. I know that kind of stuff takes time, and I understand why it's hard sometimes for people to understand outside of our environment what that means. But when I speak that way, I'm being true to the people in our environment that are with us every day helping to build this program. You know, we've come a long way, but certainly we still have a long way left to go. You know, that first year was painful, but formative and important. You know, we weren't going to be allowed to take shortcuts or make this somehow a quick rebuild. You know, we've had to take everything down and go from the studs up. And we're just ahead. I've got construction going on outside my office. I don't know if you can hear it, but, you know, the program's rebuild is just ahead of the construction here on facility, which is exciting. You know, I felt like last year, you know, it was a tough offseason last year. We had, you know, some coaching turnover and obviously some natural player turnover with the COVID years and such that, you know, going through that as a coach for the first time was challenging for sure. And, you know, what I learned through that experience was, you know, it's so important that the guys that are with you, staff, coaches, players, that they have alignment with the vision that I have for this program, and that they're helping me every day to actualize this. This is not something that you can microwave. It's step by step, and it's a true process. I felt like we took strides last season. Obviously, we were kind of waiting for that breakthrough moment, though, in conference, and we were able to find it at Kentucky there later in the season, and then again against Florida here at home. And in those games, we saw flashes of the program that we want to build. Obviously, to then turn around at the end of the season and really be embarrassed by the way we competed in that game against Tennessee, I think it's again the reality check that we still have a long way to go. But we started January 8th, this off season, really talking very candidly and openly and specifically about where those strides need to be made and how we become a more authentic version of Vanderbilt football and true to an identity. And to the credit of this team, we've I think made a lot of strides along that path. And again, I'm excited to get through Saturday to kind of go into the next cycle of the season. But I want to respect to my team and respect to the players here for what I think has been a really great offseason for us.
Coach, you mentioned the Florida and Kentucky wins, and it just seems from a distance remarkable. I remember watching both those games, really shaking my head, especially the Kentucky game when it was such a just a stunning ending. We had somebody on the other day that covers Florida, and the writer, not to get you involved in stuff like this, but the writer was just hung up on that game, saying that you know, talk about progress for one school, and I realize that's part of where you want to go. So now that you've done some of those things, you mentioned the Tennessee game. The Georgia game was tough. How do you hate to keep putting pressure on you, but I will. How do you go from small? They aren't small building blocks; they're major building blocks to even bigger ones.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that you know, in order to close the margin on the best teams in our league, we have to also close the margin on the middle tier teams in our league. Those teams that are bowl eligible right now that we want to be a part of that conversation. To me, Paul, I don't see, you know, our breakthrough here is going to be both the closing of that ground to the top in the league and also, again, getting to postseason play, which is our stated goal this season. And to have a stated goal doesn't guarantee you anything. But it's all about our willingness to show up and compete to an identity every week. And in those games that you mentioned, and I will throw Alabama in there, too, from a season ago, and we talk about this very openly in our program. We're not proud of those performances. I think in those games, we went in and we played at a level where we didn't carry belief onto that field. And what happens in this league when you're not competitive down in, down out, and maximizing your chances early in the game to put pressure on the opponent, that these teams are good enough to create distance between you and them, and that's what happened. And to me, that's about being fraudulent in an identity, not being authentic to who we say we are and what we say we do, what our process is. I think there are other signs and symptoms of, you know, internal psychology that we can turn that will allow us to again, play to our highest level and be the team that we know we can be. But, you know, until we're consistently doing those things, it's always going to be about how the opponent plays. And we want to put an end to that here. We want to become a collective force ourselves and say, this is a team that's going to be a tough out, that's going to play, again, to an identity with toughness and with great effort. And for us, you know, we're going to execute when the time comes, when the team needs us to be in the right position, we're going to be in the right position. And we're going to find out what we're capable of. My biggest criticism in some of those games against, the top end of our league is, you know, we didn't actually find out what we were made of. There was no self-discovery because we didn't show up to a level that we needed to show up. And, you know, we've addressed that internally. We're working on that every day. I do think that, you know, even in some of those performances, you know, we did come a long way from year one. But you know, still we have ground to cover.
Coach, before you go, I would like to talk to you about the two topics that every coach obsesses about. I haven't heard you talk as much about it, but it's the portal and NIL and how that affects everything that currently going on in intercollegiate athletics?
Yeah, it's a interesting time. I believe that one of the things I'm really proud of is that we've been very disciplined in building an environment and a culture here, and so the ripples of those things haven't been as dramatic internally. You know, that's not to say that we haven't efforted, again in our community the establishing of a collective and the building out of some NIL infrastructure and supporting those efforts here internally and believing that's an important part of growth within our program. It's never going to be the lead here. That's just not how we're going to be hardwired, and I'm very comfortable with that. This is about transformation, not transaction. We want to support our athletes in their journeys to earn off name, image, and likeness. But we also want to be very clear that certain aspects of what is going on is disrupted to the team environment, and this needs to be a place where we're team first. As far as the transfer portal goes, we've been very focused on environment and again, this idea that we're founded in authentic relationship, and we're imperfect. You know, we still have room to grow on this, but I believe that the interpersonal connection that we're making in this program, the sense of belief that we have in each other and doing hard things together too, Paul, we can't shy away from that. Obviously we understand that, in order to challenge people, we also need to support them and that gives them a sense of belonging here. And I think there's still, a few things that motivate humans, and obviously, money and prestige are a part of that, but, there's also an element of being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. And that's what this experience is all about. We've been very deliberate and intentional in establishing that as an environment. And we think in that way, we've established a bit of a different point of differentiation that, we hope ultimately leads to a really competitive, good football team that's fun to watch on Saturdays.
It has been a remarkable turnaround, and we've all enjoyed watching it. Coach, best this weekend with the spring game, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. Thank you very, very much for dropping by.
Thanks, Paul. Good to see you, man.
Always. Clark Lee, who has really done a remarkable job with that Vanderbilt program, as we head to the break. We're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here Tuesday afternoon. Don is up next in Maryland. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well.
I wanted to call about this list. I'm late in the game. I don't know everything of what we're talking about. Somebody called in and said they didn't like Legend. I don't know how to produce a radio program, but if I was forming that list, I want to talk about two things. If I was forming that list, I'd have category one, Legend. He's the only one in that category. Then I'd have all others 1 through 10. He's dynamite. Paul, I don't want to make light of someone's bad situation, but do you recall years ago the phone call you had from Tammy's brother?
Don, I do not.
You do not. May I, after my retirement, I went on stage for about 15 years. I was in an extra in a few TV shows, movies, and advertisements. Could I reproduce that phone call for a moment on air for you?
I wish you would.
It'd be her brother. Okay. Paul. Yes. Paul, this is Tammy's brother. Our people's Alabama people. We don't appreciate the way Tammy calls in badmouth Alabama. Okay. Paul. Yes. Paul, I'm calling from prison. I'm using my cigarette allotment to pay for this line. That's how serious this is to me. Okay, thanks for your call. Next is so-and-so in Chattanooga, so-and-so. But at any rate, I was in the room right off our kitchen. I got a little TV out there. And my wife thought I was having a heart attack. She had to come check on me. If you could pull that up, now that's been a while back. That could have been 8-10 years ago. If you could pull that up, that would be one hell of a program.
So far, you're leading in the clubhouse as doing the best monotone Paul Feinbaum sound I've ever heard.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I'm so old, I don't even grocery shop. My wife's bringing in groceries, and I got to help her.
I'm curious about something, Doc. What made you or what prompted you to get involved in acting?
I had been interested in it, and I'm retired police, and a friend of mine did some acting, but you know, working shift work, you can't do rehearsals, and they'll run the same show for like 3 or 4 weekends on stage.
Sure.
And working shift work, you just can't do that. So I looked in the Yellow Pages, and I found this acting school, and lo and behold, the guy that ran it was the coroner on the TV program Homicide Life on the Street by the Baltimore PD Department.
Right.
So he got me in as an extra on that for several times. I was the officer in uniform leading the kids out of a school where they had a bomb in the school. I didn't have any words, but I was a hero for about 1 second on screen. I had some good stage plays. My annual football trip to Tennessee, we got down there on a Thursday night, and Friday night my wife called. She said, Opryland called you. I'd been on the that big audition that they have in Memphis every year in the springtime, and I was interviewed by Opryland. And they wanted me to play Grandpa in a Christmas play. And I said, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, whoever I was talking to. But it worked out well because as a senior citizen, they put the play. This was the last year they was going to have that Christmas play, and I think it was the 15th year. And the lady says, at your age, we're not going to give you a roommate. You'll have a room by yourself. That's in the Opryland Hotel. And it was great. We ate in the employees' cafeteria. My wife came down. You know, we go down, we get breakfast, we got our discounts. And I had a few out of town gigs. I was in 1776 twice, one down in North Carolina, one to Regional Theater just off the road. Hell, I can't even think of the guy's name I played. He was the guy from Rhode Island. But I was in the group of the secondaries, but I had more curse words than anyone on stage. I kept them laughing quite a bit. Let's see. Oh, the best job I had, I got a call one Sunday night. They never called me on Sunday night. And they said, we got a job for you. It's a photo shoot for a retirement up in New Jersey. And they want you there for Wednesday. And you got to go Tuesday night, spend a night in a motel, call times early. So I go up, blah, 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 blah. Good job. I got $1,000. And while we was there, they said, in addition to Wednesday, we need you for Thursday and Friday. Can you stay? I said, I can stay for Thursday, but my hometown's Oxford, Mississippi. And I said, but I'm meeting some high school friends down in Knoxville over the weekend, and I got to be on the road Friday. We went to Pigeon Forge, spent the night. Saturday, we went in town, saw Ole Miss, Tennessee, play baseball. And so I gave up that $1,000 Friday. But all I did was stand around, and they shoot photos, play in pool. Then you're in the pool and eating dinner. All at a senior citizens complex that they're going to have photos on billboards. And the pay was good. They paid $1,000 a day. That's the highest paying job I had. So, but I was in a play one time, and for about 10 seconds there, I forgot what my line was, and we finally got it fixed. And I'm 84. I just don't go on stage anymore. And I talk to people my age, and they say, I don't want to memorize those lines. In Inherit the Wind, Paul, I had 300 cues. I thought, my God, I'll never memorize these. But once you set your mind to it and work your rear end off, it pays off. I did
well,
okay.
Don, you've been an inspiration to all of us. Thank you very, very much for the phone call. Really, really, really entertaining. You ask a question, you have no idea what you're going to learn. And that's the story of this show. We will give you an update on the caller bracket in a few minutes, but it looks like the upset of the year, maybe the century, is underway here in our caller bracket. The number one seed could be going down 56-44 a blowout so far for Cat Daddy. He knocked out Jim. He knocked out I-Man. Why didn't I listen to the odds makers when they told me to go with the under in this one? Ross Dellinger will join us with the latest from the NCAA world.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.